All right, we're recording. It's 8:31 on Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. We're going to do a roll call. Dr. Cornwall?
Here.
Here.
Dr. King?
Here.
Ms. Remick?
Present.
Dr. Bustillo?
Here.
Ms. Hunter?
Present.
Mr. Clinton?
Here.
Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Chepius?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Here.
And Mr. Harris?
Here.
Everyone is accounted for. Mr. Greer will not be present at the meeting today. Dr. Cornwall, the meeting is yours.
Okay. Call this meeting of the Arizona Physical Therapy Board, April 27, 2021 session. First item of business is review and approval of draft minutes. March 23rd, 2021, regular meeting minutes.
Dr. Cornwall, this is Peggy Hunter. On the first page on roll call, I'm listed as being present, which is incorrect, so that needs to be corrected. Thank you. Okay.
And then Peggy, on which one?
On page one, call to order 8:30, right underneath that?
Yes, perfect.
Okay.
On the final page for the vote to adjourn, it shows Ms. Remick as absent and Peggy Hunter as present and voting to adjourn.
Okay, let's see. So we move.
Just reverse those.
And then, perfect. Done.
Thank you.
So I'll move to a vote to approve the minutes as corrected.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the March 23rd, 2021 regular meeting minutes. I'm going to ask everybody to go on mute that's not going to speak because we just have a ton of background noise this morning for some reason. So let me go again. Our motion before you is to approve the March 23rd, 2021 regular meeting minutes. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right, next item is March 23rd, 2021, executive session minutes.
I move to approve the executive session minutes from the last meeting.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the March 23rd, 2021 executive session minutes. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Abstain.
Thank you. Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Next item on the agenda is item 3A, review of possible action on application for physical therapist licensure from applicant requesting ADA accommodations. Rachel Piotrowski.
Members of the board, I have a couple of questions on her application. It looks as though she listed herself as the practitioner and signed the practitioner diagnostic note herself with her contact information. So I don't think her application is actually correct.
Ms. Cardoza?
Well, she did that because she didn't have time to take it to the actual doctor is why she submitted the supporting documentation.
So yeah, there's it's a valid. Is that correct? Valid, yeah. Yes. I'm because sorry. There's a statement that says that I am a professional that has the credentials in order to make this diagnosis, and she signed that, and that's not.
That's invalid. That should not have been submitted.
So do you want to table that, Kelly?
Well, you could just. You could either table it or you could deny it and she can bring it back.
My motion would be, you need a motion, but to deny it, there's quite a bit of work left to do for this application before we can truly consider it.
Mr. Harris, is it okay to deny and she can bring back?
I think it is, yes.
Thank you. Ms. Dr. King, is that your motion to deny the ADA accommodations?
It is.
Is there a second?
Second. I will second that.
Second.
It's been moved. I'm sorry. Is there discussion? It's been moved and seconded to deny the ADA accommodations request for Rachel Petrowski. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right. Item number 3B, review of possible action on the following applications for physical therapist licensure for foreign educated graduates of programs not U.S. accredited. Christina Neary?
Correct. And she is substantially equivalent. She does not have any U.S. Experience.
Okay, so she has not taken the exam yet, right?
Correct.
Okay. I move that we order her to complete a six-month supervised clinical practice period approved by the board, both the facility and the supervisor. And once that's completed, bring it back to the board for further consideration.
I second that.
Do you also approve her to take the national exam?
Yeah, I thought that we had to do this first, but.
Well, no, she has to complete the exam and the AZ law and then completes the supervised clinical practice.
Oh, yes, then I approve. I put all of those in there.
Thank you.
You have a motion and a second, Dr. Cornwell. Is there any discussion? It's been moved and seconded to approve Christina Murney to take the AZ Law MPTE following successful passage, engage in a six-month SCPP approved by the board. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, then let's move to item 4B, review, discussion, and possible action for initial review. Case number 20-08, Ryan Marzetta, physical therapist.
Ms. Richardson?
Yeah, good morning, members of the board. I didn't see that Mr. Marzetta was present, nor the complainant who's patient NB. So I will go ahead and give you the summary. On May 12, 2020, the board received the complaint. It was the patient NB informed Mr. Marzetta that she could not wear a mask during her physical therapy treatment due to her history of panic attacks if her mouth and nose was covered or if her breathing was any way restricted. NB alleges that Mr. Marzetta caused her to have fear, extreme anxiety, and a panic attack in the course of physical therapy treatment when he placed a towel over her mouth. This case is for your review.
Okay, and none of the parties are present, correct?
It does not appear so.
All right. Comments, questions? What would the board like to do with this one?
I'm wondering if it would have been more appropriate for the physical therapist to, first of all, ask for consent. I mean, this patient had been going to for therapy for quite a while. And the physical therapist always has the right not to treat the patient if he feels that not wearing a mask is not good. It just seems like it could have been handled a little bit differently.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a number of things that could have been done in addition to what it, so I would move this to an informal hearing.
I would also like to add the additional violations that the investigator included.
We don't have a second yet. It's been moved.
Oh, I'm sorry. We need a second.
Thank you. Mr. Harris, were you about to speak? No?
No, sorry.
I'm sorry. All right. So you have a motion that's been seconded to an informal hearing. You're in discussion.
Well, I think what Ms. Hunter was saying about adding the extra items should be included.
I will make that as a friendly amendment.
Thank you.
And that would be all of the additional potential violations that I've cited?
Correct. So, would you like for me to read them out, Ms. Richardson?
No, I just want to verify that that's what your motion
is. That is correct.
Okay. I'll read them out in the motion so that we're clear.
Thank you.
You remain in discussion.
So, all right, we have a motion. Any discussion?
I'm in support of the motion.
Mm-hmm. If there are no other comments or questions or discussion, let's call the question.
So the motion before you for complaint 2008, Mr. Ryan Marzetta, PT, is to move complaint 2008 to an informal hearing and include the following potential violations of law: ARS 32-2042A, the use of titles; ARS 2414, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations in violation of this chapter in the practice of the profession; ARS 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records; and ARS 32-2044-22, providing treatment interventions unwarranted by the condition of the patient or treatment beyond the point of reasonable benefit. Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Ms. Remick.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right. Move on to case number 20-09.
Before you move on, Dr. Cornwell, I just want to ensure that on page 6 and page 7, there were additional proposals for opening complaints against two additional PTs. I just want to make sure that that was not something to consider.
Thank you.
That is correct. I missed that.
On page 6 was Mr. Lyonnais, Todd Lyonnais, PT, and on page 7 was Allison Kiernan, PT.
If it's not too late, I would make a motion to include that into the complaint.
I would make two motions, one for each complainant, please,
okay.
If you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all.
Thank you.
Let me see. I'm just going there, sorry.
That's okay. Page 6.
Okay, so it would be, I'm on page 6. Would that be against Mr. Todd Lyonnais?
Correct.
For the following potential violations, I'd like to make a motion to have an initial review on this.
Well, open a complaint.
Sorry. which includes 32204440, ARS 32204420, and R424304.
Is there a second?
Dr. King, second.
The other one.
Hold on, one motion at a time. It's been moved and seconded. You're in discussion.
I just want to clarify. If the investigator finds additional possible violations, they would then bring it back in their report and say to add those. Is that the way it would work?
So when we do the investigative process, we look at the complaint and say, if the complaint is true, here are the potential violations of law, and then we notify the complainant of those potential violations of law. After we receive subpoenaed records, responses, interviews, we may have uncovered additional violations of law that we were unaware of at the time that the initial complaint was processed, and that's when we would add the potential additional violations of law should the board move it to a hearing. The board then would have to accept those potential violations of law for it to be moved to the hearing.
All right, that clarifies things for me. Discussion on the motion. Hearing then, let's call that question.
The motion before you is to open a complaint against Todd Lioness PT for ARS 32204 and 20 with the accompanying rule R424304. Please put yourselves on mic. The background noise is terrible this morning. So if you're not speaking, please turn yourself off. Thank you. Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Ms. Remick.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Continuing, I would like to open a complaint against Allison Kierman, PT, for the following potential violations: ARS 32204440, ARS 32204420, and R424304.
King, second.
More questions? Any questions or discussion on the motion? All right, let's call the question.
The motion before you is to open a complaint on Allison Kiernan, PT, for ARS 20-44-4, ARS 20-44-20, and the accompanying rule R424304. Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Ms. Remick.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Now on to case number 20-09, Donald Dodson, physical therapist.
Is Mr. Dodson present? Can anybody see Mr. Dodson? Ms. Richardson, did Mr. Dodson have an attorney?
Yes, my name is Jim Coucher. I'm Mr. Dodson's attorney.
Thank you. Dr. Cornwell.
All right. would his attorney like to make a statement? Or before we do that, let's have a brief description of the case.
Thank you. On May 18th of 2020, the board received a notice of settlement against Mr. Dodson by the Ms. Vera Knopp, Senior Professional Liability Claims Specialist, who I do believe was on the call. I'm not sure she still is on the call. But a settlement against Mr. Dodson was reached after injury resulted to patient MS that occurred on 7-6-2016. So the case is somewhat aged, but she was under the care of Mr. Dodson at the time that she was injured. Ms. Knopp stated in her notice that during pool therapy, PT Dodson allowed the patient to enter the pool without assistance. the patient MS fell and suffered a leg fracture. One of the additional items to consider was the status of Mr. Dodson's license. He was actively licensed, obviously, at the time that this occurred. He last practiced and states that he retired as of January 22nd of 2018. He did not renew this period, so his current status is administratively suspended. And as requested by Mr. Dodson, his attorney, he would like to find a way to retire his license. This case is for your review.
Ms. Knopf, are you present?
I am.
Thank you. Okay, Dr. Cornwell, you have Mr. Kouchner and Ms. Knopf.
Let's start with Mr. Kouchner, and then Ms. Knopf, if you'd like to say something, you're welcome to.
Thank you, Dr. Cornwell, Dr. Chairman, members of the board. I will try to keep my comments relatively succinct, but I've not appeared before this board before, but I've been representing healthcare providers in various capacities for 36 years. Among that involves representing them for licensing boards such as yours, usually the medical board, the nursing board, osteopathy board, and other such boards. This case is unique in my experience, and it's unique because it has several components to it that I've not seen before. One, there's no complaint. Two, there's no complainant. Three, this whole investigation arises out of a malpractice lawsuit that was vigorously litigated and settled to the party's mutual satisfaction. Third, the provider involved in this case has been retired now for 2.5 years, and I understand that the board has a ongoing responsibility to look out for the public protection and everything else, but we're dealing with a physical therapist now who is no longer in practice, has no intention of returning to practice. Continuing this investigation raises a number of concerns that I think the board needs to consider in deciding what to do with this. As I mentioned before, this was a medical malpractice case that was vigorously defended. It settled back in March of 2020 to the party's mutual satisfaction. The case was originally set for trial in June of 2020, but because of the pandemic, that trial would not have occurred, as most civil jury trials have not occurred. I think there's just been very, very small number of them that have occurred since the pandemic, and we're only now starting to spool up jury trials again. One of the main purposes of settling this claim was to stop the burden and expense of litigating a claim such as this, particularly under the circumstances. First off, the evidence in this case was not that the fracture resulted from the fall, but that the fracture caused the fall. And in fact, the patient in this case didn't have an expert and never seriously contested that she fell because she fractured her leg, not because of any other reason. The patient recovered in a matter of months, and according to the records that were produced in the case and the expert witnesses in the case, she recovered in a matter of months and had no significant permanent impairment because of this injury. And finally, the provider retired, as Ms. Richardson said, 2.5 years ago. So we're dealing with a case that's nearly 5 years old, with a provider that's been retired for 2.5 years and has no intention or desire to go back into practice and simply seeks to retire in peace. The danger in continuing to handle this matter is this. When parties have cases like this, they settle them for a number of reasons. Chief among them is the burden and expense of continuing to litigate a case like this. Defending and prosecuting medical malpractice cases are very expensive. It's not an inexpensive proposition. The parties decided to resolve this case and to stop the expense. If we continue to proceed with these proceedings, that expense will continue. And the reason I say that is this. Having read Ms. Richardson's report, she went out and she interviewed two of the witnesses, actually all three of the witnesses to the event, Mr. Dodson, the patient, and then a friend of the patient. those interviews are not under oath. They're not, you can't use them in any proceedings in this. For all of that to be useful in any type of proceeding before the board, I need an opportunity to cross-examine those witnesses, which means we're going to spool this case up and we're going to litigate it as though we're back in trial. And the whole purpose in settling this case, which was settled to the party's mutual satisfaction, has now been defeated. Now, I understand that in some cases the board may and should investigate cases even after they've been settled. Indeed, in front of the medical board and the osteopathy board and the nursing board, I've been involved in post-settlement investigations. Every single one of those has involved cases in which the provider is still in practice. That's not the case here. So you're dealing with someone that has zero history with this board. The best of my knowledge, no prior lawsuits, no prior complaints, and a complaint. Well, there is no complaint in this case, but you're looking at basically a credibility contest between the provider and the patient and the patient's witness. The only way for me to deal with that in defending Mr. Dotson is to cross-examine these witnesses, and we have every right to do that. There's Arizona case law directly on point. It gives us the right to cross-examine any witnesses whose testimony are going to be used against Mr. Dotson. So, members of the board, Mr. Chairman, I think for the purposes of this case, it makes sense simply to let this, I'm not even sure dismissal is appropriate because there's no complaint here, but to dismiss this matter, let Mr. Dotson retire in peace. He won't be treating any patients anymore. He doesn't have any desire to do that. The patient isn't the complainant. The complainant, who's on the line here, really isn't a complainant and is adamant that she's not alleging that Mr. Dotson did anything wrong. Let's not relitigate this case. It's been settled. It's been resolved. Let it pass. Thank you.
Ms. Knopp, would you like to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to make it clear. This is Vera Knopp. I originally reported this matter to the National Practitioners Databank as required. The databank sent me a notice saying they were unable to report the settlement to the Arizona Physical Therapy Board. And as required, I did so as they could not. It's required. There was no allegations of any wrongdoing, any breach of the standard of care. I simply reported the matter as required. We had expert testimony to defend Mr. Dotson. I in no way am accusing him of breaching the standard of care, nor am I making a complaint. Rather, I was simply reporting a settlement.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions?
I have a question. If this gentleman has no intentions of going back to work, why is it so important for him to have his license on a retired status?
Well, and Dr. Cornwall, members of the board, maybe I can respond to that. My understanding is that depending upon what you do in this matter, once you have taken dispositive action, whether that's dismissal or a disciplinary action, his license by operation of law will be deemed expired because he has not renewed it. So I'm not sure that unless there's a different meaning of what retired status is that I'm not familiar with, his license will just be deemed expired.
My concern is if we allow him to have his license go on a retired status, he could always come back and have it go into active. And I think there's some real safety issues that with this case. He recommended the lift. The patient refused, but I think he should have been thinking of the patient's safety and said, well, We're not going to go into the pool unless you use this. And at the very least, he should have been beside her with a gait belt on her going into the pool. So I think there was some real violations, but that's just my opinion.
Any other comments or questions?
You know, he's been retired for 2.5 years. I feel like we need to let this go.
I'm in agreement. It sounds like it's been adjudicated. There was a settlement. It was reported to us as a mandate report. There's nothing to investigate. I'm with you, Karen. I agree. I'm in support of just dismissing, letting it go. What, I'm not sure the words.
I'm okay with that. I'm just not confident to have his license be put on a retired status. Right now, if he doesn't have a license, active license with us, we don't have any jurisdiction over this anyway.
Well, and again, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, Mark Harris, we do have jurisdiction because if we received a complaint when he was licensed, his license goes on suspended status, as Ms. Richardson mentioned in her report. Again, and it may be my newness, but I'm just not familiar with this retired status. My understanding is if a licensee doesn't renew their license, it expires or lapses. And then under your rules, you have 3 years in which to seek reinstatement, but that's a process and it's not automatic.
Correct.
And I hope I'm not misspeaking.
Correct. So he should now be under administrative suspension starting in September 2020. He'll have administrative suspension status for 3 years, where then he'll automatically expire. He is not, Ms. Richardson, help me out. He is not currently in retired status, but in administrative suspension. Is that correct?
That's correct. I provided the form for him to submit, but I think it was dependent on this outcome of the case.
Right. Well, he's not in retired status right now. He's in administrative suspension, so he doesn't have to submit anything. The time will run out on him in 2023, and his license will automatically be removed to expired, during which time he could reinstate, but all of that would come back before the board for approval. It wouldn't be an automatic reinstatement.
And just to be clear, if there is a motion to dismiss that passes, then his license by operation of law will be expired.
No, it still takes 3 years.
Right. Under your rules, you have 3 years in which they can ask for reinstatement.
Correct.
But it's not active.
It is not active, but it remains in the status of administrative suspension. We do have a status of expired, but that only occurs after 3 years of administrative suspension.
Gotcha.
We can't speed up the expired.
Right. Gotcha.
So from a precedence and a procedural standpoint, in a different case, because I believe that Mr. Donson does not have an intention to return to practice. But if the board felt that there was substandard care and you dismiss, and then a year from now he reapplies, none of this would come forward because it had been dismissed. So there wouldn't be any archive of any substandard care.
That would be correct.
Correct. You will have record of the complaint, however.
Yeah.
But you would also have record that the complaint was dismissed, which makes it a non-complaint.
I just wanted to make
a complaint. A complaint that was dismissed, not a non-complaint, but a complaint that was dismissed. We do not have a motion. I do not believe.
I move to dismiss this complaint.
Second, Remick.
Further discussion on the motion? Okay, Karen, let's call a question.
It's been moved and second to dismiss complaint 20 09, Mr. Donald Dotson, physical therapist. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The motion passes. Case is dismissed. Thank you, Ms. Knopp, and thank you, Mr. Kirchner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Have a good day.
Okay, let's move back to item 4A review, discussion, and possible action for informal hearing, case number 20-40, Melinda Coy, physical therapist assistant.
Ms. Coy, are you present?
I am, yes.
Thank you. So complaint, I'll give you a summary and then we can swear people in, Dr. Cornwell. Complaint 2040, Ms. Melinda Coy, PTA, failed to complete 10 of the 10 hours of her CEU competencies for the 2018-2020 compliance period. Dr. Cornwell.
Okay. let's go ahead and introduce the members of the board, staff, and council.
Dr. Cornwall, professional member.
Here.
Dr. King, professional member.
Here.
Ms. Remick, professional member. Ms. Remick? We'll come back.
Here. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you. Dr. Bustillo, professional member.
Here.
Ms. Hunter, professional member.
Present.
Mr. Clinton, public member.
Here.
Ms. Cardoza, staff.
Present.
Ms. Crowley, staff.
Here.
Ms. Chepia, staff.
Here.
Ms. Richardson, investigator.
Present.
And Mr. Harris, assistant attorney general.
Here.
All right. Ms. Coy, are you represented by counsel by any chance?
I am not.
Okay. I just need to know. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. So, just an introduction?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Melinda. I am a physical therapist. Well, I am a physical therapist assistant, but haven't been working since 2018.
Okay. All right. this interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. And I've got a script I'm going to read. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. One, issue a decree of censure. Two, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. Three, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500. Four, issue other disciplinary action. Five, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board has a formal hearing. Okay. Ms. Coy, do you have any witnesses that you plan to present?
Not with me, no, though I have references that I could name in case we wanted to get in touch with them.
Okay.
But no,
the reason I'm asking is that I want to, anybody who's going to testify, I need to swear them in. That's all.
Oh, I see. No, it's just me.
Okay. So all individuals who will be testifying, Mindy, is that you or is that?
That's me, Dr. Cornwell.
Okay. So if everyone would raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
I do. Ms. King?
Okay. Karen, would you give us a brief overview of the complaint?
So, Ms. Miss, do you go by Miss Coy or Miss Kane?
So at this point, it's Mrs. Kane, but Coy Mrs. is Kane. Also, that's fine. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Mrs. Kane renewed her license, currently has an active, certificate. A physical therapist assistant certificate. When she renewed, she affirmed that she had completed the CEU requirements, and that is what enabled her to renew her certificate. However, she was randomly audited and found to be deficient in 10 hours.
Okay. Let's see. Mrs. Kane, would you like to make an opening statement?
I would, yes, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
So I understand the way that is said. That is quite a misstep as far as a physical therapist assistant. I just want to make it known that I have not been a practicing PTA since 2018. I was put on long-term disability with a pregnancy, and sadly, I and my daughter almost didn't make it through that, and there was a lot of medical issues afterwards. When I was renewing my license, my husband had just lost a job to COVID, so I was filling out paperwork to have a renewed license to stay up to date, thinking I was up to date with all of my requirements. I did not know that the continuing education at that point was a mandatory thing for PTAs. So when I filled out my paperwork, I did not have the right understanding, and I'm very apologetic for that. I wish I had taken more time and maybe gotten in touch with Karen and asked some questions, and I ran out of time. So in reality, I wish that I would have done something different with my licensure. I didn't realize that was a possibility since I'm not practicing and wasn't planning on practicing, honestly, for another few years while my child is not in school. And so I'm so sorry. And I want to do whatever I can at this point to make it right, because I absolutely love and respect this field, even though I haven't been in it for a little bit. And I just want to do what I can now to fix it. So I am sorry, and I really appreciate everyone being here to talk about it.
Okay. Does any member of the board have any questions?
I do. This is Peggy Hunter, PTA. Mrs. Kane, did you receive emails from the board that we all received stating that it was a mandatory 10-hour continuing education?
Not that I have. I haven't seen that email, though, as I haven't been practicing. I will admit that I haven't spent as much time or attention on the field of physical therapy, and I've been focused on my family and my child and healing from all of that with her.
Does that mean we do not have an updated email address for you?
That might be a possibility. It could have gone to a past work email instead of my home email.
Well, that is also your responsibility to inform the board.
I understand that. I understand. I have done, it sounds like I have lapsed on a few things that I wish I didn't unintentionally, but still incorrectly. And I do apologize.
I understand you had a pregnancy. You could have contacted the board. You keep saying unintentionally, but in my opinion, I don't know how the rest of the board feels, you intentionally lied on your application, which is unethical.
Okay.
So I'm not having a lot of sympathy for you at this moment.
I don't require sympathy. I just want to make sure.
Obviously.
Any other questions that board members might have?
Yes, this is Mr. Remick. Did you receive a agreement or any direction from the board with regard to the typical process that a licensee or certificate holder undergoes when found in this position?
So I received emails about what would happen next. My understanding whenever I had begun emails was that I would just needed to remain in contact, and most likely it would result in a fine. And so that was my impression of what was going to happen. so I'm a little bit confused, but that's, I'm sorry.
Okay, so I just want to be certain that you understand that there is an expectation of continuing education, and there's a algorithm that is generally followed for this process.
Okay. Yes, I do understand that, as in like getting my continuing education courses going forward.
Correct. And the potential for fines and the process that happens. Okay.
Right.
Mrs. Kane, this is Mark Cornwall. Is it your intention to begin practice again in the near future, or is this still a few years off?
It would still be a few years off, but at least three or four when we had originally planned, and a future plan, not currently, not in the near future.
Okay, and you're aware that regardless of what happens today relative to the previous licensure period, you would need to do continuing education for each period of relicensure until you decided to, and including beyond once you start practicing again.
Yes, I am aware of that now, though my plan going forward, if it was possible, I realized again through this process, there is a way to put your practicing license or certificate on hold, correct, if you're not practicing. Is that a possibility?
You can make a license inactive.
Right. Which, again, I genuinely wish that's what I did. And so that would be my plan going forward until I would be practicing, as I wasn't planning on re-entering the field for quite a few years.
Karen, you can correct me, but even if she put it on inactive status, when she re-entered the profession, she would have to show that she maintained her clinical competence.
That is correct. She'll have to show that she has the hours for each compliance period that she's been inactive.
Yeah. So Mrs. Kane, do you understand that you're going to have to do these 6 hours, the 10 hours of continuing education every 2 years for forever?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Does any other board member have a question?
I do. I also just wanted to clarify, Mrs. Kane, that you have, this is Nushka Remick, that you have an understanding of the other responsibilities that are required by law, including keeping your contact information up to date with the board office and that sort of thing.
I do. I do understand that there is no excuse. I know that in the last couple of years, that's what's happened, is I just haven't been on top of my physical therapy requirements, and thus I didn't know a lot. My email wasn't up to date, and that's something I definitely plan on doing going forward. And I apologize.
Ms. Kane, the email address we have on file for you is melin26@gmail.com.
Right, that is my email. So then I did not receive
that. That is the email we would have sent notices to.
Okay. Well, that is how I know that's how I've continued to be in touch with you, Karen. Okay. I don't have a record of emails from any information on continuing education, so I'm not sure why I don't have that, but I'm happy to go back and search and see if it went to a wrong folder or something. Because then my email.
Just so you have an awareness that information should always be current.
Okay.
Yeah, and make sure that it doesn't, for some weird chance, go into spam.
Right, yeah, important.
All right, any other questions? All right, it sounds like there's no one else that has any more questions for you. Would you like to make a closing statement? You don't need to, but you may.
It honestly, it's just more of what I've been saying, because I feel very, very bad that it's happened. So I'm really sorry. And I plan on being more on top of my certificate and my responsibilities in the field going forward.
Okay. We will now move into a open discussion on this. And so there will be no further questions. Now, what are the board's members thinking at the moment?
Well, it's the certificate holder's responsibility to know what's going on. The board has made ample notice about the change in CPEs for PTAs. My feeling is we should use the matrix that the board has approved and as you know, in this case.
Okay. Do you want to make a motion or?
Yes. Okay. I move that we fine the licensee $150 civil penalty, require her to take the AZ law and 6 hours of ethics, which due to the pandemic can be done online, but with a board staff approval of the course.
And Dr. Cornwell, Mr. Clinton, members of the board, is it possible for you to include in your motion adopting the allegations set forth in the investigative report as your findings of fact? And then I think it may be a violation as set forth in the report of 32-20-44-24 that you're considering.
Sure.
We should have a motion for conclusions of law and findings of fact before we issue an order.
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Can I move to accept the findings of fact as outlined in the investigative report? Item A, failed to complete continuing competency requirements established by the board.
Thank you.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion. For any discussion on the motion? Okay. Let's call that question.
For complaint 2040, Melinda Kane, PTA, findings in fact and conclusions of law. The conclusion of law is failing to complete continuing competence requirements established by board rule with the accompanying findings of fact under A1-4. Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Ms. Remick. Ms. Remick.
Did you hear me?
Yep, now I can.
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The findings of fact and conclusions of law have been adopted. You are now on to your order.
All right, Mr. Clinton, we'll start over with your and reiterate your motion.
Okay. Licensee will I move that the licensee will pay $150 civil penalty, retake the AZ law, take 6 hours of ethics, and due to the pandemic can be done online, and the ethics has to be done within a board-approved class, and
the time frame to complete?
6 months, and early termination if completed.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion on the motion.
Hi, it's Dr. King. I'm just trying to make sure that we're following the matrix. Is there a 6-month probation as part of that matrix as well, and no. A civil penalty? Did you talk about that too, Michael?
Yeah, the reason is usually we do these by consent decree, and there's no need for actual stating of it. But with scheduling to do the AV law and the prep that you'll need to do to ensure that you pass this, 6 months should be sufficient to get those two things done.
Right. I just want to make sure we're consistent with following the matrix. And so it does have a 6-month probation, civil penalty of 150, jurisprudence exam, CEUs, including ethics. So as a consent agreement. So just looking to for a way to make sure we're consistent.
Mm-hmm. I'm more in favor of following the matrix as stated.
I believe that is the matrix as stated.
Yeah, yes. I just read.
Thank you, Dr. Donahue.
Yeah, the statements that I just read were actually from the matrix.
Do you believe that's different from Mr. Clinton's order?
I just didn't hear 6 months probation. Sorry, I missed that.
All right, thank you.
All right, any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, let's call the question.
The motion before you is to issue a board order for complaint 2040, Melinda Kane, PTA, that includes $150 civil penalty, the successful passage of the Arizona law exam, 6 hours of CEs specific to ethics, which can be taken online, all to be completed within 6 months with early termination available. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The motion passes. Mrs. Kane, we'll be sending something to you via email and certified mail.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Let's move to case number 20-34. Mariana Calderon, this is an initial review.
Good morning. I believe Ms. Calderon is on this call. She was earlier. Ms. Calderon, are you present? Ms. Calderon?
She's there.
She's there. Okay.
She's not muted.
Okay. The board opened complaint 2034 after review of complaint 1964, Louis Bartlow, PT. The board alleged that Ms. Calderon engaged in substandard care in the treatment of patient MF. This case is for your review.
Ms. Chepius, it looks like Ms. Calderon has raised her hand, but I don't know how to identify her. Is there a way to do that?
Yes, she's on the call. She's not shown as muted, but there might be a discrepancy between her computer sound versus her meeting sound. So her computer might be muted. We're not hearing her. She raised the hand specifically after you asked if she was here, and we weren't hearing her audibly.
Okay.
Members of the board, can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
There you are. Excellent.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. this is just an initial review, but would you like to make a statement, Ms. Calderon?
Yes, of course. Good morning, members of the board. My name is Mariana Calderon. I'm a physical therapist assistant, and I would like to thank you for your time and this opportunity to present myself to the board and clear allegations from impacting my license. I do take this matter very seriously, as it is my duty and social responsibility as a healthcare professional to provide exceptional care towards my patients. With collaboration of my therapy team, my supervising physical therapist, I thrive to deliver compassionate care and excellence. I have submitted a written response letter, and I would just like to add to that the documents being presented in regards of this matter reflect that it was at the start of my employment in October of 2019 with this current employer. I was primarily tasked to build the RNA program. Simultaneously, I was a parent PA in the building. This continued approximately April of 2020. So I was still learning the EMR system. I have only been on it a handful of times under constant and direct supervision of my physical therapist, as well as the DOR. I am here to answer any questions in regard of this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions?
I obviously missed last session. I have some questions as a PTA.
Go ahead.
First of all, you don't have any patients. You do not have patients. You have PT patients. So that ought to be first.
Okay.
You're treating PT patients. They're not your patients. Okay. And the second thing is that if a PT even says to you, I'd like for you to do this activity with this patient, if they have not been assessed by the PT, you're not allowed to do it. Do you understand that?
Yes, I understand.
So why did you do it?
In regards of what exactly?
There were quite a few references on things that you did that were not assessed or evaluated by the PT. So it was your responsibility to go to them and say, you know, this is beyond my scope of professionalism. You're going to have to assess this patient and then, you know, tell me what to do or suggest what I do. It's just not up to you. It's like a patient. It's like a patient saying to you, "You know, my back really hurts, and it hasn't been assessed by the PT. It's not your position to go ahead and just do something to relieve the pain."
I understand. When therapeutic activities or when he delegates things that need to be performed or they need to be assessed, he is present with me. As a therapist, I do document the activities that were performed by me, with him as well. He co-signs my notes, and he is present there when seeing patients. So whether he assessed them and he documents that, I am not aware, but I do communicate with him that, you know, this is something that, you know, either the patient's going to be doing for the first time, it needs to be assessed. And he does say, oh, I will be there. And he is present with everything. We communicate daily. We communicate throughout the day. He is present. This is direct on-site supervision. That's all I have to say in regard to
this
matter.
So when that circumstance happens, does he evaluate or assess the patient? Is that put in the documents with his acknowledgement that he did do that, and then he asks you to follow through with the treatment?
Yes. Since this has been brought to light, and he did have a case in regards of this, I believe in 2020, our communication and his delegation have nothing but gotten stronger. He is present there. Whether he does says I need to assess this, and he tells me, and he's there with me and the patients as well in the common gym area. He is documenting. I believe he's making addendums, is what I understand. When I go into the EMR system, I only have access to his evaluations, patients' daily encounters, and that I review and I go over to make sure we are all within the plan of care and our scope of practice.
I understand your circumstances. I really do. But unless that is in a note that he actually evaluated that patient, you're deemed to have done that without the expertise. So on 12/13/19, it says you did stair training activities with patient MF. This activity had not been assessed by the PT. You were not allowed to do that.
Okay. I do not recall what happened that day exactly, since this was December of 2019. This is pretty fairly new into me treating his patients, but I was being directed and delegated by his supervision. Whether that was documented or not, I documented my findings. I documented under my treatment note, and whether he documented that stairs were performed or not, I did put that, you know, the patient was educated under additional skill services. I see it here in the report. We delegated, we talked about it. I documented what was done. Whether that was documented on the PT side, I am not sure. Again, this was back in 2019. I was still kind of PRN at the time, so I did not have access to the EMR to, you know, follow through with that patient. I believe this was the one and only instance that I've seen when I worked with him. So I'm sorry, I do not recall what follow through with this patient's care.
It also states that you updated the patient's plan of care, which is beyond your professionalism.
So it's stated, I understand that the language can be a little bit misleading. It says patient's goals were updated. I didn't state that I updated the patient's goals. Just because I contributed to the progress note and patient was educated on those short-term goals and the plan of care. I do believe that this particular progress note, I contributed to it, and the goals were to be updated by the PT, mm-hmm. And he co-signs that signature. So he goes in and he makes the additional changes, whether it's to add a stair goal or not to add a stair goal. Everything was delegated by my supervising therapist.
Okay. I understand your position, and I see a lot of fault with the PT in how he's supervising you.
Yes.
But you should know what you are supposed to do, and you need to stand up and say, I'm not allowed to do this.
Absolutely. I understand that, Ms. Hunter. Like I said, he had a case, his case 19-64 in regards of supervision. Ever since that has been brought to light for him, his communication and our collaboration has nothing but improved since then.
Well, that's good to hear. Congratulations. Yeah. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Calderon, this is Dr. King. Can you tell us now what does your documentation look like? How do you update goals or contribute to weekly progress notes at this point?
So since the initial case of Mr. Bartlow,